You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you could find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and featured podcasts on Podbean. What? MF Uncensored. Really excited about that, by the way. So, in the studio today, it is me, Paul. That is I, your host. Guy talking. Paul, me, that guy.
You.
Yes. And with me in the studio, straight from another place, Sean. Sean, how are you today?
That's me.
That's you.
I am swell.
You're swell.
I'm swell.
That's well with an S. I like it.
Thank you.
I always think that swell was somebody who really wanted to say wells. Like they wanted to plural well, and then they just panicked and flipped it around.
Isn't that dyslexia?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I can't even spell it. You ever notice that like they do really mean things with spelling things? Like, yes. They put an S in Lisp. Not cool.
Yeah.
But anywho, so we are here, and Sean, let me ask you a question.
Yes, Paul.
When you think of hair in weird places, awkward social teenage norms, and just basically a movie that people don't really think about, what do you think about?
Heavyweights.
That's actually a solid. That's a solid. I wasn't sure where you would go. Didn't we do an episode on heavyweights?
I think we did an episode on heavyweights.
But no, I am talking about Michael J. Fox.
What?
Yes.
That's not the plot to Back to the Future. What are you talking about?
You know, in all honesty, when you think of hair in weird places,
it was the 50s.
Social teenage awkwardness and a movie that, well, no, everybody loves Back to the Future. So, you know, there's that. But no.
I have yet to meet someone who does not like Back to the Future.
It is very rare to find somebody who doesn't like Back to the Future. If you don't.
The first one. There are people who dislike the sequels, whatever. I don't agree with it, but.
Okay, that's your cup of tea. You may not get along with us, but you know we still respect it. But no, we
we'll
are talking
you forever.
1985's Teen Wolf.
What? Didn't they make a TV show out of that?
They've made two TV shows out of that. They made an animated series, a sequel, and
oh crap, that's right. I forgot there was a cartoon series on that.
Oh, we are talking about it all. We are talking about the original 1985 movie. We're going to talk a little bit about the 87 sequel. We'll talk a little bit about the animated series, and we are going to talk about the more modern reboot from 2011 and its recent film adaptation.
Wow. We got a solid, jam-packed episode right here.
Yes, so we will not
very
be...
Very hairy.
Very hairy. Hair in weird places.
Yes.
So we're not going to talk too much about the plot per se, but we are going to go through each movie and kind of things that we like, things that we don't like, and we'll go from there. But first, we have news. Sean?
Oh, the news.
Hit it with the news.
What do we got in the news here today, Paul? Well, we have the movie Avatar 2, The Way of Water, has just crossed, well, not just, but it's been over the 2 billion mark for the last week or two. It is now past Star Wars Force Awakens as the number 4th highest grossing movie of all time. So when you think about that, James Cameron has 3 of the top 4 highest grossing movies of all time in the history of motion pictures. Titanic, Avatar, and Avatar 2.
I've never heard of any of them.
No? Really?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we also have...
One is a Fern Gully remake. One's about a boat. And the other one, I honestly don't know what the sequel's about.
You don't know what the sequel's about?
I haven't seen it yet. I really want to see it, though.
Well,
I
then.
Just don't go to movies anymore. I talk on a movie podcast.
That's, yeah. So it's funny because our show definitely switched from going to see movies to more contemporary stuff. I think sometimes it works out in our benefit, though. Not gonna lie.
I like talking about older movies. It gets people, I would hope, who are listening, reacting to these older movies and going out and watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would like to hope people who listen to our Fired Up episode went out and watched Fired Up.
I would hope so, too. That would actually be really cool. I'd be okay with that.
But, you know, we'll see.
But we also have, speaking of which, Zoe Saldana.
Yes.
First actress to be in, what?
I think also 4 movies that have crossed the 2 billion.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously the 2 Avatar movies.
And now the 2 Avengers movies.
And the 2 Avengers movies.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Good for her. I like her.
I do. She's good.
Yeah, she's good.
Still, center stage. Remember that movie? Center Stage.
I liked The Losers.
I still never saw that movie.
Oh, you would love that movie. You like The A-Team. Came out the exact same time. They were the same movie, just different cast.
Did you ever see Columbiana?
No, I wanted to,
though. That was good.
Yeah.
She was good in that.
I like her.
And then, obviously, she's great in The First Pirates.
Oh, I forget she's in it.
Everybody forgets she's in The First Pirates.
Yeah, she smacks it. It's the one smack that he thinks he deserves.
That's true.
Well, that's fair. True.
But we also have some news in the awards category. Films were released earlier in the week, and we did go over the Golden Globe winners, I think, on our last episode, if not the episode before that. Just some notable Oscar noms. Everything Everywhere All at Once is just going straight through the awards season. It's getting noms in almost every category. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Supporting Actor for Ki-Hwan Kwan. Best Supporting Actress, Jamie Lee Curtis in her first ever Academy Award nomination.
So weird.
I mean, and there's a great, I guess I'm going to say it's Instagram, whatever, one of the posts of her reacting to the nomination, and she's just blown away by it. Michelle Yeoh getting nominated for Best Actress, and she's a front runner. I mean, this movie, I'm getting all the feels that this movie's going to like sweep almost all of its awards,
which is crazy. Did you see it yet?
I've not. It's on Showtime. I have to sign up for a free trial to watch it because I'm against paying $20 for it.
That's fair. You can't rent it on like Amazon or
no? Really? We tried. We were gonna watch
it. It's coming back in the theaters.
That I would like to see that in the theater. Yeah.
I watched it on a plane.
Yeah.
And it was so good. I couldn't look away.
But
it is a weird movie though.
I'm okay with that.
I really am okay with that.
Some other notable nominations in the Oscars. Angela Bassett gets nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Well deserved.
I think she's the first actor to be nominated for a Marvel movie.
I think so, yeah.
Black Panther obviously got nominated for Best Picture, but in terms of acting, I don't think anybody's ever been nominated in the acting categories. The Fablemans, Steven Spielberg's film, Best Picture, Best Director for him. What else? Why am I blanking? Avatar got Best Picture nom. Top Gun Maverick got a nomination for Best Picture, which I thought was...
A couple of snubs, though.
Well-deserved.
A couple of snubs.
Who else got snubbed?
The Batman.
Yeah, the Batman did get snubbed. What were you... Best Picture?
Not Best Picture, but maybe best some sort of screenplay.
Screenplay would have been interesting. Paul Dano would have been, even Colin Farrell. But Colin Farrell's got nominated for another movie. He got a Best Actor nom for his movie.
And guess who else is in that movie with him?
Brendan Gleeson.
And it's like,
from the same director as In Bruges.
Yeah.
Bottle?
Did we talk about In Bruges?
No, we didn't talk
about that. That is a movie. I watched it recently.
That movie is such a gem. It really is.
Oh, it's a good one.
Elvis gets nominations. Austin Butler gets a nomination for Best Actor. Brendan Fraser.
Thank God. Good for him. I need to see that movie.
I hate this because there's always that one actor, at least for me, I can't speak for you, that I latch onto that I hope wins. I have not seen The Whale.
Right.
I have seen Elvis. Austin Butler was incredible in that movie, and I think it's well deserved if he wins. But the sentimental option is I hope Brendan Fraser wins.
I hope Brendan Fraser wins because we grew up with Brendan Fraser.
We did.
He was a big part of our, you know, between George of the Jungle for us as young kids,
Encino Man,
and Mummy. Obviously the Mummy movies. And I'd even say all three Mummy movies have merit.
The first two, the third one
I might put it. But he's always good.
Oh yeah.
And like you find out what happened to him in Hollywood.
God.
And it's heartbreaking. For those of you guys who don't know, two things happened to Brendan Fraser that he never really recovered from. One was a back injury in filming one of the Mummies.
Yeah.
Like, he got severely injured and he just either, it's fuzzy. Like, he didn't take care of it properly or the studio wouldn't let him go take care of it while he was filming. Like, there's a lot of talk about that. But apparently he was also sexually advanced on by a studio executive.
Member of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
And he was like, get the hell away from me?
Yeah.
And he got mildly blacklisted for a long time.
He was one of the few male actors who...
Who
said anything that he was a victim of, basically, you know, sexual abuse.
Yes.
And his career just... Yeah,
disappeared.
Disappeared.
Blacklisted. Kind of like Ashley Judd. She
well, it's the whole like Harvey Weinstein thing. A lot, you know, people were retaliated against with their careers ending, the threat of their careers ending. But you know, and you know, he has slowly come back, and this is like his breakout return.
And I would even argue that he started coming back with Doom Patrol.
Yeah, that's right.
He is fantastic on that. And I like Melanie watched the first episode. I've seen most of the entire show. I'm not caught up on the current season. But apparently that's ending with Titans. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Really upset.
And James Gunn is like,
it wasn't me.
It wasn't me. And I'm like, God, you guys just, again, just seem like you guys can't get out of your own effing way.
Right. So Doom Patrol, he is fantastic on. And you would think he, because he's just doing the voice of Robot Man, there are plenty of times where you see him in person, and he brings that character to life in such great ways. And hearing Brendan Fraser drop F-bombs is hilarious. But yeah, I'm happy for him. I want to see the whale. I hope he wins. Even just the Academy Award nomination. He looks better. Like you've seen him recently, he looks a lot better. He dropped it on a Mummy showing.
That's right, in England.
I would lose my mind.
I would too.
Rick O'Connell walked in.
I don't think we've talked about the Mummy movies. Have we talked about the Mummy movies?
I think we mentioned them when we did the Dark Universe stuff.
Yeah, but we got to do a deep dive on those. Those are, at least let me rephrase that. The first one is such a Indiana Jones.
Oh, it's so good.
The Universal Monsters. It was the perfect remake of that movie. And I love that movie. I mean, he was so perfectly cast in that movie.
Oh, he kills it.
It is unbelievable.
It's one of those rare movies where the remake is better. Or is of equal standing to the original. Sean's shaking his head. He's having trouble.
It's a totally different movie than the original.
But
Mummy.
Still, like when you
I know what you're saying.
When you say The Mummy, that's the one people think of.
For you, that's fine.
I'd say 80% of the world.
Depends on who you ask.
All right.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're so arguing with me.
No, I'm not. I agree with you. I love The Mummy, but you're talking to a guy who grew up on the old black and white movies.
You're in the 20%.
When you tell me the Mummy, I think Boris Karloff.
That's fair.
You know, that's just me.
Did you ever go on the Mummy ride?
Oh, absolutely.
It's so good.
Yeah, I've been on both of them. I've been on the one in Florida and I've been on the one in Hollywood.
So good. But who'd win in a fight?
Yes.
Rick O'Connell or Indiana Jones? That's a tough one.
I say a draw.
You say a draw?
I say a draw. They're both.
It'd be a good one. I would enjoy
Brendan
that.
Brendan Fraser would have been a good Indiana Jones.
Oh, 1,000%.
If Brendan Fraser was in the realm of his career where he was during The Mummy and they wanted to reboot Indiana Jones, I would have been like, boom,
that's your guy.
Sold.
Yeah, he had such great hair.
He did.
Yeah. Rick O'Connell, good looking guy.
He had such a, I mean, it really is a shame. I mean, his career in the late 90s, I mean, if you start with like Airheads and you go to like George of the Jungle, yeah, you could say Dudley Do-Right, and then he does The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. And what else did he
do? Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Yeah. And he was in Crash. Everybody forgets he was in that movie. Best Picture winner.
Looney Tunes. Back in action.
That's right. I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, that was when it started to go a little downhill. Apparently that movie's not bad, though.
Well, you could say it went downhill when he did Dudley Do-Right. I mean, but he was in that perfect zone of...
Bedazzled.
Oh, that's right.
Bedazzled. Oh, my God. Producer Melanie and I love that movie. We quote it regularly.
You know what was the downfall for him?
What?
Monkey Bone.
Oh, yeah.
That movie's rough. Garbage.
That movie is rough to watch.
That movie was garbage.
I remember watching it, too.
Blast from the Past.
I like that movie.
That was a good movie.
That was a solid movie.
He had a good stretch where he was just in, like, at least a movie every year.
And Brendan Fraser's the kind of actor where he can do serious action star like Rick O'Connell, and then he could do Blast from the Past where he's like naive, kind of man-child. Yeah. He's very good at, and now apparently he's very good at dramatic with The Whale.
So I'm good either way. If either of them win, I'm happy. But because I've seen Elvis, like I'm kind of rooting for Austin Butler because he was so good. But if Brendan Fraser wins...
It's weird. The only reason I don't want Austin Butler to win is because when he did his Golden Globe win, he was still talking like Elvis.
Everybody is like reacting to that. I'm like, what's the big deal?
I don't know. It just feels forced to me at this point.
I don't know.
Just milking it.
It might just also be it's hard for him to get rid of the voice. Maybe he just...
Just ingrained it. It's stuck in him.
Into his head.
Stuck
I don't in know. It. But I don't know.
Anything
it
else?
Would be interesting to see if he wins the Oscar and he still is talking like him.
He's still gonna do it. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Say. But that's about it on the news front, Paul.
All right. So let's jump into the first Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, this was an incredibly low budget film.
Very low budget.
$1.2 million, right? $1.2 million
in 1985.
So I'd say probably what $10 million now.
Probably
something like that. We don't know inflation.
Yeah.
We don't know that kind of money, but it comes out with a $1.2 million budget, and it makes $80 million.
Yeah.
That is huge. Now, it's funny, because we were looking at this beforehand, and when I said that, I was like, I'm kind of surprised such a low-budget movie. But then again, this was before Michael J. Fox did Back to the Future.
It is, but he was famous.
He was famous for
Family Ties.
Family Ties. And then also, I was kind of surprised, because I was like... They do a lot of prosthetic work in here. You have a full werewolf transformation at one point. Like I was kind of surprised that the budget was so low for it.
Yeah, but probably Michael J. Fox wasn't making a lot of money. Mm. I don't think any there was really no big name actors in this movie that was drawing a high salary. Mm-hmm. Very low budget in terms of the production design. You know, just finding, you know, it's probably done on the Universal lot
or
whatever studio lots they had. And yeah, I mean, again, back then there really weren't big actor salaries. So, because I think, like, what was it? Back to the Future 3, which is 5 years later in 1990, Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd were making maybe $1 million for the movie, maybe a little more.
That's wild. That's, now you look nowadays, you look at some of these actors' salaries. Do actors get that all at once? Do they get it at the end?
Depends on the deals.
Because, like, when I think salary for an actor, I think, here's your check.
Well, so it's funny because there are deals where the actor can either get upfront their salary or they can take a percentage of the movie. And there are times where the actor's just like, give me the movie, give me the money up front, and they actually end up losing out because I know the funny story is Matt Damon turned down Avatar and he offered him 10% of the gross of the movie. That would have been $200 million right there.
One of the highest amounts of money that an actor
gets. So, I mean, it depends on the deal. It depends on the contract the actor is in, if they're in a specific contract with a studio or a producer. I mean, it really depends.
Studio contracts are very strange. And
there
obviously
isn't much studio contracts anymore. I mean, it's
well, Sean and I, obviously, we are not in that world. We don't know too much about it. No. But you have, like, I think the best example of a strange contract thing is Movie 42. Movie 42, for those of you guys who don't know, is one of the shittiest movies of all time. But it has the best cast ever.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is the second time I'm referencing that movie today because I was talking with my barber, who's like a big movie nerd like I am, and we were talking about the new History of the World Part 2.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That has a killer cast.
Yeah.
But we're worried, like, is Mel Brooks going to be toned down for this? How involved is he? Like, what's going on? You can have a great cast, but if you don't have the script behind it.
Well, I feel like this movie's going to probably be... There is going to be a script behind it, but it's probably going to be just a ton of ad-libs.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
I'm curious to see what that's going to be like. But obviously...
I know where you're going with the movie 43 is that the reason they were able to get all of those...
42.
The reason they were going to get all those people is because all those actors were tied down to contracts, and I guess this was like their out movie. Like,
yes.
Oh, to get out of this contract, I'll do this movie.
So a lot of studios will do 3-picture deals, 4-picture deals.
Channing Tatum.
G.I. Joe
was part of his contract. I don't know if it was with Paramount or with another, you know, studio that was being distributed by Paramount, and you know he wasn't able to choose the movies, and he just rails on. I like that movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like the first one. I think the second one has better.
The second one is a better made movie.
I mean, Cobra Commander looks great.
But
in that second
I just
movie.
Didn't care for the plot.
No,
I don't.
And this
care.
Was also the start of the Dwayne John craze. Yeah. Don't tell producer Melanie. But yeah, so let's talk about the cast for this movie.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
We'll start there, and then because the movie's very simple. It's so simple. All right, we got Michael J. Fox as Scott Howard. Now, do you find Scott to be different than any of his other teenage roles?
A little bit, because if you watched Family Ties, he plays basically a conservative high school student, mm-hmm. you know, very sure of himself, very into, you know, Ronald Reagan and all that stuff.
Don't do drugs.
Pretty much. Back to the Future, he is very sure of himself, you know, kind of cocky high school student. And then in this...
And he definitely smokes weed. Marty McFly smoked weed.
In this movie, he's more on the nerdy side. Yeah, he plays basketball.
Okay,
so I mean,
ready?
He's got an athletic bone to him, but he's definitely kind of an outcast.
Yeah, but their team sucks.
Their team's horrible.
The Beavers. All right, who'd win in a fight? Marty McFly or Scott Howard without werewolf powers?
Oh, Marty McFly.
All right, Scott Howard with werewolf powers, but Marty with Doc's inventions.
Marty. Scott Howard is just not...
You think werewolf Scott Howard would lose?
I don't think he ever really was that, scary as the wolf.
He scared a few people in this.
Scared a few people.
There are a few scary people.
Yeah, they probably get scared of clowns.
We got James Hampton as Harold Howard. What a terrible name. I would turn into a werewolf too. I'd be so mad. I will say one of my favorite scenes in this entire movie is when he opens the bathroom door and the dad's like, I think we need to talk. He's full werewolf. I do really like the scene where he makes the principal wet himself.
That is good.
Yes. Yeah, because that's like a joke from the beginning. We have Susan Ursidi as Boof.
Boof.
Jerry Levine as Styles.
I always love Styles.
And we'll talk about Styles because Styles also became a character of huge renown in the Teen Wolf show. You never find out Styles' name in this. You do find it out in the second one. In the second one, apparently, standby, his name is Rupert Stiles Stalinski.
And I didn't need to know that.
Well, it's funny because in the Teen Wolf show, that was like the running joke for like almost more than half the show. They never said what Stiles' name was. They even his dad just called him Stiles. Then you find out that his name is like, oh God, I can't even pronounce it. It's like that bad. Like Mischief, because it sounds like mischief. And that's where like, yeah, they don't even say, even on the cast list and all that stuff, like they don't say it. It's, yeah. Weird. But anywho, we're talking about the first movie first. We have, let's see, Matt Adler as Lewis, who's what, the teenage sidekick kind of kid.
He's the younger, like he's not of age, you know, he's like 16.
Yeah. Lori Griffin as Pamela. Jim McCrell, yes, as sure. Mr. Thorne. Mark Arnold as Mick. Jay Tarasis as Coach Finstock, another character that they bring back for the show. Yeah, okay. Mark Holton as Chubby. Nice. He's another one of those actors that just kind of popped up everywhere at that time.
The father of Gas Man from Little Giants.
I always think of Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
That too.
Yeah. Gas Man, I don't get it.
Think about it.
And Scott Pullen as Kirk Lawley. So very small cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, like not...
Again, there's no out star here except for Michael J. Fox. I mean, correct. It's it.
And they all have careers, but like nothing to write home about.
I mean, this is Michael J. Fox... 85, so this is, you know, after two seasons of Family Ties, and that show really didn't hit its stride until right before he does Back to the Future, so I mean, he's not even a household name, I guess, in the sense, can he carry a movie on his own? You don't know, but he's got that charisma about him, that fun story. So he was filming Teen Wolf, I believe on hiatus from Family Ties after whatever the second season. And where they were filming, Back to the Future, was scouting locations on the same street. He wants to do Back to the Future, but he is not able to because he has no time because he's filming a TV show at the same time. So that's why Back to the Future went and cast Eric Stoltz and filmed for 4 to 6 weeks. And then they decided, no, we're going to go after Michael J. Fox. So they were able to get him. He had to film Family Ties in the day and then go film Back to the Future at night.
Woof. Now, say what you will. Like people like make fun of actors for complaining. But like sometimes, man, you hear stories about some of these actors and actresses.
I've never heard a bad thing ever said about Michael J. Fox.
No, I'm saying like, you know. Like,
no, but I'm just saying.
You know, they complain about like, you know, actors who complain about working. And like, yeah. Oh, well, you're making millions of dollars. Shut up.
Yeah. And he wasn't making that crazy amount of money.
You hear stories about that. But like I've been listening to, you know, Talkville, the Smallville podcast. And they talk about how like it's 3 a.m. They're like supposed to be in this tropical climate, but it's like Vancouver. And it's -42.
Vancouver doesn't even look like Vancouver.
It doesn't even look like Canada. Hey. But to all of our Canadian listeners, I'm very sorry. So, like, you hear about it. And, like, they have to be, like, yeah, we're diving into the water and, like, coming out. And you hear all these different things. Like, it's tough. I give them their kudos, especially, like, for stuff like Supernatural. They're like, we've only filmed things at night. That's why as the show went on, they started filming more during the day for Jared and Jensen.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, so... You don't. This plot is so stupid when you say it out loud. The plot of this movie is that Scott Howard, and I'm gonna I have to keep reminding myself that his name is Scott Howard in this, and Scott McCall in the TV show.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm gonna if I mess it up, just leave it alone. Scott Howard, awkward teenager on the basketball team that sucks, the Beavers. Your team is named the Beavers, odds are it's probably not gonna be that good. And he discovers that he's a werewolf. And in typical 80s fashion, he becomes super duper popular.
And really good at playing basketball.
And really good at playing basketball. So this is Fast Times at Ridgemont High with a supernatural twist. It hits every 80s trope you can imagine.
Pretty much.
Now, when you think about this movie, are there any standout scenes that you have?
The transformation scene, the first one where driving, he's got the wolf ears, and then he comes home. And the music that they're playing, it's kind of... 80s, it sounds like a slasher-ish kind of a score, and you're like, okay, is he going to turn into like a really, really like, you don't know what it's going to be. So, and you don't know what he's going to look like. So, you know, you get the scene, and he looks like a drag werewolf. I mean, it's not the scariest werewolf makeup ever, which I don't think was the intention.
Correct.
You know, they obviously want to make him look funny looking, but also semi, you know, like, ooh.
I think the dad looks funnier.
Well, the dad doesn't even look like a wolf. He looked like a koala bear to me.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, I remember as a kid when saw it, and I went to my dad, he goes, what is he? He goes, he's a wolf. I'm like, he doesn't look like a wolf at all.
It's a werepuppy.
Seriously, like, it's, but I think that the opening transformation, again, even though it's not much of a transformation, he has a little makeup done and stuff like that. You see his ears grow. And then, see his nails grow, but you never, like, literally see the hair come. It's not done in the dissolve.
You do. You see.
Not to the extent, like, in an old werewolf movie.
So the way that they do it is, they obviously they have a prosthetic mold of his face, yeah. Kind of like in Terminator, the one scene where, the original Terminator, where he's taking out the eyeball.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bust of his head, and it's doing things. And then it'll cut to a smaller shot, like a close-up shot of just his hair.
Yeah.
And it's much easier if you could see what I'm doing right now. I forgot I'm on a podcast. And like the hair would just grow and yeah. You just see that. So,
but then it cuts to him in full makeup.
Correct.
So again, you never really see the hair. You know, it's not like American Werewolf in London where like his body is transforming.
And then for the rest of the show or the rest of the movie,
you never
see it just jump cuts from him being normal to transformed.
Pretty much.
Now, do you think that the high school reaction was appropriate for him being a werewolf?
Not at all.
Not at all.
The minute he started playing basketball and they were like, we can play, awesome.
It makes me think of Air Bud.
Pretty much.
There are no rules that say a dog can't play basketball.
There are a couple people who are obviously like a little turned off that he becomes a wolf, but there are so many people who are so accepting of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Styles has this moment where he's a little nervous at first, but then he's like, oh, it's you because you're talking to me just with a lot of hair.
Yeah.
But the friend Lewis, like, won't talk to him. Scared of him for like the entire rest of the movie.
Well, we do have the scene. So he does get violent a few times in this movie.
Yeah,
he scratches Boof's back when they're making out in the closet.
That's right.
Yeah. So he scratches her up. I think he attacks the jock after the jock attacks him.
Yeah.
And then I still laugh at the give me a keg of beer thing.
Give me a keg.
I like how he convinced Scott to go in there and basically rob him with a fake gun in his pocket. And, like, that was totally kosher.
Oh, yeah.
Scott's like, all right, I'm going to go. And the best is, he's like, I brought the keg. Oh, yeah, put it with the others.
You barely carry it.
Did you ever see The Night Before with Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Nah,
there's a great, like, the whole time they're trying to get drugs to go to a party. And he's like, oh, I got the weed. Oh, yeah, put it with the rest. And there's just a barrel of weed. He's like, and, like, they spent hours trying to get it. I like stuff like that. That always makes me laugh. Like, it's funny because this movie is very high school where it seems so much bigger to them. Like, everything's so important. High school, when you're in high school, everything seems like it's the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's wild looking back on it now. But any other scenes from this movie that really just kind of stick out to you?
I mean, the typical, the basketball montages, you know, it's fine.
Where he's turning
with
into
the
a
80s
jerk.
Music. Yeah. He becomes cocky. He's got this sweatband. He's stealing the ball from his own team and dunking. So it's the traditional, you know, continuation of he becomes this cocky asshole that no one wants to be, you know, associated with.
Especially his friends. Except for the whore.
Wow.
Come on. She's such a floozy.
I know.
Yeah. She's like Pamela, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pamela. And gets him a role in the play because that's how you
get a girl.
Well,
he's clearly like, you know, in love with her throughout the movie. Like he has, of course, Boof, who is like his childhood best friend. And it's the whole, you know, storyline where, you know, you don't realize what you have right next to you until, you know, you're away from it for a while. So, you know Boof loves him, but he's not, doesn't feel that way. So he goes after the popular girl.
Yeah.
And she's like, you never like, but she harps onto the popular person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's with the jerk athlete. Then the minute Scott becomes popular, she's interested in him. But she's interested in the wolf. She's not interested in Scott.
Right.
So she doesn't like him when he's out of the wolf character.
And then it's very, oh, I liked you the way you were with Boof and all that stuff. And then obviously, you know, they win the game. Now let's talk about the iconic scene at the very end. If you look in the bleachers, there's a guy who is fixing his fly.
He's fixing his fly.
And like the running joke was that he
exposed himself.
Exposed himself.
You don't see anything. You basically just see that his pants are like unzipped.
He stands up and he realizes his pants are unzipped, so he just zips them up. Yeah. But like it's once you see it, you can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it. And it's just again, it shows how low budget the movie was.
Oh, my
like
God.
I was like, oh, we're gonna go back and reshoot this? No. No one's gonna notice that.
And then the internet and Family Guy come out. But anyway.
Well, Family Guy did a joke on that?
Family Guy was that's when I noticed it. Because he, the store clerk, you know, like the, you know, you ever see that movie?
Oh, okay. I thought they actually like redid the scene or something in Family Guy.
He tells one of them that like, there's a guy with his junk out in at the end of Teen Wolf. You hear it in your head. Yeah. But anyway.
The Bob's Burgers guy, and I'm just like, I hear that voice now. And I'm just
Varsity rating for Teen Wolf?
I'll give it a 3.5.
That's high.
I like the movie. I have always loved this movie.
I'll give it a 3.
It's a guilty pleasure movie.
It's a guilty pleasure movie. My challenge is, and I'll defend it, the show was really good.
Yeah.
Like, the show was so good. I highly recommend it. It is very respect. Like, they do... They do some homages to the movie, especially in the first season. Like, you know, they go bowling, and like there's all that.
So, comparison between this movie turning into the show and Buffy.
It is the perfect comparison. It is exactly the same.
Yeah, because both this movie and Buffy the movie are very campy, low budget movies, and the shows are just the total opposite.
Very serious, but like with fun.
With fun stuff. You know, they're not comedies. No. They are dark. You know, storylines that have humor.
Correct. Humor. So let's talk about the sequel, though.
Eich.
I have not seen the sequel. I will be honest. All right. So tell us a little bit about the sequel, Sean.
Where do I begin? Well, it does not star Michael J. Fox because he hated making Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Like, he hated the makeup. So he refused to do a sequel. Now, of course, this is 2 years later. He is a big movie star now, mm-hmm. so he would never go back to a movie like this. So who do they go after? Well, they go after another young...
Up-and-comer.
Teen actor, and his name is Jason Bateman.
I really like Jason Bateman.
I do too.
I want to have a beer with him.
He's another one that, I mean, what is it? He was like, not, and I don't say this in persona non grata in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and I don't mean that in a way where he was not liked.
He was just always there.
He just wasn't around. You didn't see him in anything. I think he was doing TV shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what was it? It was Starsky and Hutch.
Oh,
he
yeah.
played the sidekick to Vince Vaughn. And from that point on, he like would always appear in like the kind of, you know, those Ben Stiller, Will mm-hmm. Ferrell-ish comedies. And then, you know, then he started getting his own movies. And then obviously Arrested Development, you know, and that really
skyrocketed
his career. Now he's
Pepper.
I mean, have you seen Ozark?
No, I've heard great things about it, though.
He's really turned out to be such a very good actor and a very good director, too. So you can't blame him for Teen Wolf 2.
Do you know what movie really made me see how funny he was, though? The Change Up, where he and Ryan Reynolds switch places, and he is vulgar and like just super, because he was really good at creating kind of that.
I was thinking of that movie the other day.
I love that movie.
I just love the scene where Leslie Mann, after they first switch places, he's, oh, I'm going to wreck that. And then she,
yeah, anybody who
what are you doing?
The best is like the scene before. He's like, well, what if your wife like comes on to me? Like, I'm not gonna be able. And he's like, what day is it? And he says the day. He's like, you're good. Don't worry.
Don't have sex with my wife, Mitch. Yeah. Don't have sex with my wife, Mitch.
I
believe you were coming at me, guns hot.
But you also had him in Hancock and all that stuff. Like
Hancock, Juno,
Horrible Bosses.
I mean, he is great in Dodgeball. Everybody forgets about him in Dodgeball.
F and A, Cotton, F and A. What was it? He was in Central Intelligence, that's right. Office Christmas Party, Game Night. Game Night was really good.
Paul,
that's right. Lorenzo's Oil. I love it. But anyway. All right, so Teen Wolf 2, go.
Okay, so Jason Bateman plays Todd Howard, the cousin of Scott Howard.
Because when you can't get the original character, they're like, is it Grease 2? Sandy, any cousin of yours is a cousin of mine.
So the only other returning actors from Teen Wolf 1 were the James Hampton, the father. He comes back as Uncle Harold. And Mark Holton as Chubby, because, you know, makes sense that the guy that your cousin went to high school with is now the same age as the younger cousin.
That's another big
in
thing.
College.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay. The character of Styles returns, but it's a different actor. And so he's in college. He joins the boxing team. Again, exact same plot as the first one. Very kind of meek guy. Discovers he's a werewolf. Becomes great at boxing. Becomes so popular. Becomes an a-hole. You know, and then has to learn, you know, no, you're good without the wolf. Yada, yada, yada.
You didn't need the feather to fly, Dumbo. You had the magic inside you all along.
I mean, it really, truly is a horrible movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as a kid, it was watchable. I have not seen it in probably 15 years.
I guess I don't watch it.
It's on HBO Max, and shockingly, I'm kind of surprised.
It had a bigger budget than the first film.
By how much?
$3 million budget.
Oh. That was the budget?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it made $7.9 million.
Oh, made its money back.
It doubled its money.
It doubled its money.
But you look at the first one, which I don't know what times eight is, but it times eighted its budget.
Yeah.
Or times 80. Eight? I don't know.
So
80. 80
says here that Alyssa Milano was scheduled to do a third Teen Wolf movie about a girl playing football in high school.
I'm already seeing problems with this, but go on.
I,
oh, that was it? Okay.
I can't even, I don't even know how to respond to that because I just.
With a Star City rating for Teen Wolf 2.
0.5.
Woof. Wow. Savage. All right. Well, with that, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the Teen Wolf live action show and the recent Teen Wolf movie. But first, a quick break. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and Sean.
Oh, Paul.
You know me. One of my favorite shows of all time was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That is true.
One day we will do an episode on the movie and the TV show because I feel like it really actually computes with what we're talking about right now.
Before you go into what you're going to talk about,
yes.
I just have to say, during our break, we were just watching the opening to the Teen Wolf cartoon show.
Yeah, so let's quickly talk about
and
that.
Like, just watching them. It's like any typical 80s cartoon that was made after a movie has just, what are you going to do? It was on for 21 episodes. Two seasons. That's actually respectable.
That's not bad, yeah.
But I had to say that because it's just, again,
they can't all be the real Ghostbusters.
That is true.
And even the real Ghostbusters was very loosely affiliated with the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was. I think they only referenced the events of the movies
like twice.
One is where they explain why they got new uniforms.
Yep.
Because the old ones were infected by marshmallow ghost energy. And then they mentioned the slime in one episode where they make Peter into a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anywho, so 2011, a time of...
That's how long it's been? Wow.
That's how long it's been. A time of... I don't really remember too much about 2011. Wasn't really that exciting. We graduated college?
Was this...
just after I graduated college.
Was this pre-DC? Post-DC?
Pre-DC.
Pre-DC. Nice.
But maybe. I don't remember. Anyhow.
Wow.
So...
Getting old, man.
I know. I am. So, we live in a time where making an adaptation about movies... or TV shows that, you know, based off movies, was not uncommon. It wasn't as popular as it is now. Unfortunately, I think Cobra Kai really showed that it can be done, and it can be done exceptionally well. So, we have...
Well, Buffy was a big one.
But a lot of people forget that there was a Buffy movie. They think
no,
the
show...
No,
that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's proven that it can be done, but Buffy was probably the number one, you know, of the 90s that did it, and did it successfully.
So we have June 5th, 2011, we have Teen Wolf on MTV.
See, I think that's what threw people.
MTV?
MTV. It was a TV show off of a movie that everybody knows was a very silly comedy.
Right.
You know, like at the beginning of Michael J. Fox's career. Like, people of our age know Teen Wolf. You know how, like, you know, silly of a movie it is, how, you know, and they were like, they're making a TV show out of that?
Mm-hmm.
And then on MTV of all networks? Like, it screams CW.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was MTV, I was kind of like, eh, I'm good.
So I will start off first and foremost by saying I love this show.
From minute one, you said, dude, this show is good. You need to watch it. And I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
And I'm not the only person. It received reviews from critics, won 3 Saturn Awards, B Movie Awards, picked it up, whatever MTV TV awards they do. They do, and obviously it became so popular that they just released a movie on Paramount Plus, early, 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And I watched the whole thing. I'll give a Star City rating on it and my thoughts on it, but obviously Sean has not seen it, so this is going to be a little bit more my thoughts. So first and foremost, they take this stuff very seriously, but the show is exceptionally well written. It stars Tyler Posey, and we know Tyler Posey from one of our favorite episodes of Smallville, the one where Fi does its song at the end.
Right. He's
the mole, I think it's called.
Yeah,
he's the
subterranean,
something like that. Yeah, he's
the kid
who Clark's trying to save the entire time. Tyler Posey plays Scott McCall, name change for the show. You have Crystal Reed playing Allison Arjun, who then went on to star in very short-lived but fantastic Swamp Thing. Dylan O'Brien. Now Dylan O'Brien stole the show in this. He is hilarious. I did not know he was so funny. I didn't know who this kid was. I didn't know who a lot of the cast
were.
Yeah,
at the time, these were all like...
And some of them have gone on to really successful careers, but...
Dylan O'Brien's one. I mean, he had a good little streak going in movies with the...
Then he got hurt.
He got hurt, and he's on that Amazon show, The Hunters.
Yeah, he is fantastic. He has great comedic timing and very good dramatic chops. You have Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah.
As Derek Hale. It's so funny, because when they cast him as Superman, I was like, no.
Well, I don't know who the character is. What is he like in the show?
He is like the begrudgingly older werewolf who like tries to take Scott under his wing when he gets turned.
Gotcha.
And he's like a grump. And him and Styles, the two of them, the back and forth is hilarious.
Okay.
Because Styles is like a jokester, a prankster, and that's why his name is like, it sounds like mischief. So Holland Roden as Lydia Martin, Colton Haynes.
That's
as
right.
Jackson in the first two seasons, and then he comes back in season 6. Shelley Henning as Malia, huge crush on her, don't tell my wife. Arden Cho as Kira. Now, Kira was supposed to come back for the movie, but they were not willing to pay her as much as some of the other co-stars, so she openly was like, no, I'm not coming back then. And I respect that. Dylan Sprayberry, who played young Clark Kent in Man of Steel. As Liam. Lyndon Ashby, Johnny Cage himself.
Wow.
As Sheriff Stalinsky. And oh my God, he's fantastic. And he came back for the movie too, even though Dylan O'Brien couldn't. Melissa Ponzio as Melissa McCall. J.R. Bourne as Chris Argent. And then there was one more that I wanted to mention because he's not on this main cast list for some reason. Oh, this is going to drive me crazy. But we have Ryan Kelly as Jordan Parrish. Seth Gillum as Alan Deaton. Ornery Adams as Bobby Finstock, same name as the coach from the original.
Right, yep.
And then Ian Bowen as Peter Hale, who's, I think he's on Yellowstone now. He's doing really well. So it's funny how this is a show like Buffy that takes a silly source material and makes it serious, and it works.
Yeah.
They did 6 seasons, 100 episodes, so it's not a hard watch if you're so inclined. I think I watched it on Amazon, but I think they moved it to Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, because it's on MTV's owned by CBS.
So I really like this was a show that I watched every week.
No,
I remember
that show came on, and you, from the get-go, you were just like, no, dude, this is actually really good.
Yeah.
Because, again, you think, like, what is this going to be? Like, you know, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be stupid. It's just going to be a teen, you know,
there's
drama.
Your teen angst. It's,
teen angst is in there.
It's a better written version of Riverdale, where they have something silly.
Yeah.
And obviously all the cast is ridiculously good looking and like all this stuff, but it's
real. I said the same thing about Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's like a better written Riverdale.
But I definitely still recommend it. So
one of these days I will definitely finally sit down and watch it.
Even if you just watch the first season,
yeah.
Like I would still respect that. You know, Sean, you did watch a lot of Supernatural.
Dude, I binge watched the crap out of that show.
You did, yeah. And still respectable. The first 5 seasons, always respectable. And then the fun
and
episodes.
And I tell everybody, I say the first 5 seasons of Supernatural are hands down, you know, probably like I think much better than the first 5 seasons of Smallville combined.
I can stand behind that. Smallville got better in the back half.
I agree. I think Supernatural kind of waned. There are some definitely standout episodes, but I think the first 5 seasons of Supernatural.
And that's why if anybody's ever trying to get into Supernatural, I say just watch the first 5 seasons. That's all
you
need.
But I would respect. You can never turn down money. I get it. But if they had ended Supernatural after season 5, hard respect right there.
Oh, perfect. It would have been a perfect show.
Perfect show.
So, and again, Teen Wolf did the same thing where at season 6, they knew that they were ending, so they tried to wrap it up as best they can. But now this movie comes out, and they've been talking about this for a while, and they got 95% of the cast back together.
Dylan O'Brien, I'm guessing, couldn't come back because he was doing Hunters, or he just didn't want to do it?
It's up in the air exactly. There's been... They mention him in the movie, but they don't say why he doesn't come back. And it's a shame because, like I said, he's really good.
Yeah.
And him and Scott have such a great rapport. And they're very Corey and Sean. Like, it's basically Corey and Sean in a Supernatural world. Like, that's really the best way to explain it.
Yeah.
So the movie comes out, and I've been excited for it. In all honesty, I've been really excited for it. And it's broken records. It's the most watched original movie on its first day of Paramount Plus.
That's believable.
Because Paramount Plus also didn't have a whole lot of original content going for it. It had the Nickelodeon stuff that was his big draw.
I know it did the movie The Offer, which was about the making of The Godfather, which was a decent hit. But yeah, right now Paramount Plus is mainly rewatching CBS shows, Nickelodeon, that type of stuff, MTV. Yeah. But so, that's good for them. I mean, it's again, this is where we are. You know, instead of making that in a straight to theater movie, you put it on streaming. And it brings the viewers to the app.
And I'm going to say, unfortunately, it did. It was good. It was okay.
It was worth it, but it didn't like blow me away. Did it have to happen, in your opinion?
No, I enjoyed. So basically, it takes place 15 years after the end of the show.
Which is believable. Even though it's only been...
You know, they're all in their 30s now. So even though it's called Teen Wolf, there's only one werewolf that's actually a teenager. Yeah. All these characters have moved on for the most part. But it brings a lot of nostalgia back. They do clips from the show and stuff like that. I don't think that's very earned. Because like it's not like this show went on for 10 years and then it's coming back. But it's
a fan favorite type show.
It had a lot of good nostalgia points. The problem is, it was a long movie. It was 2.5 hours.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, wow, I was kind of surprised like how long this was. The problem is you have characters that on the show were like close friends or always on scene. It's 140 minutes, so just, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
There's two characters in particular, Liam and what's the other guy's name? Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. I'm just looking through the cast really quick. And his best friend on the show, I forget his name off the top of my head. Like they were like inseparable all the time. They don't have a scene together in this movie. The cast is too big.
Yeah.
It's a 2.5 hour movie. The cast is way too big to manage. So some of the characters really don't get their dues in this. Mm. Some do. Some completely do. And I'm not going to spoil anything because obviously the movie did just come out. This is the first just came out movie that we're doing, basically. But
unless we, multiverse, when we're doing the Marvel movies.
I'm going to give it, unfortunately, a 3. It's still above average. I think if you're not a Teen Wolf fan, why are you you can't watch it. It's not watchable if you haven't watched the show.
Would you watch it again? Is it rewatchable?
Not
right away, but not like right in a away. Year.
Maybe because they're talking about another one now because all the cast are like apparently the cast just fell right back into it, which is good and I respect it.
Have you watched Teen Wolf through a second time since the show ended?
Yes.
Okay.
I think when they announced this, I was
you
like,
started I'm watching it. Yeah.
Maybe even before that, when I saw it was on Amazon, and I was like, I need something to do.
There you go.
But I was kind of disappointed. It's Mason. That was the kid's name. Dang it. But I was a little disappointed. Like again, it was nice seeing, but also the script is not strong, and they don't even mention why some characters, like Scott and one of the other characters, were dating at the end of the show. They don't even talk about why they're not dating anymore. Like, they very vaguely even just address it. It's like if they did Boy Meets World now without Girl Meets World being there, and they did a 2.5 hour movie, but there were still, like, they still didn't answer questions.
Yeah, it's like, why are Sean and Angela not together? Why is right. Salt? You know, what happened here?
So that's the best way. But I do have to say, one of my former UMAC kids, one of my former students, she worked on this movie in the hair and makeup department.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's that was awesome. Another reason that I really wanted to watch it, because, like, that's just cool.
Yeah,
like,
that's awesome.
Her name's Darcy. She's a big Supernatural fan, too. We used to geek out about it. But
there you go.
Great kid, and I'm really happy. I hope a lot of success for her with this. I hope they do another one. I hope they kind of learn from what they did. I hope they look back on some of the cast members that weren't in it, and they kind of reevaluate, or if I hate to say it, take it down in scale.
That's fair. I mean, maybe they just got too big for their britches with this movie. Maybe they'll learn. Depends on how well it does.
To do too much.
It also depends on how well it does.
It's already breaking their records.
There's not much records to break.
Exactly, but still.
Hopefully it doesn't go to their head. It's like, guys, there wasn't much there for you guys to beat. Because
unfortunately, even the reviews aren't that good. It's got a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes. All right. Considering the show, though, was much better.
They can still make another one off of it, even if the bad reviews. I mean, if the cast wants to do it, why not?
Yeah.
And if the studio's like, hey, we'll give you the money, what the hell? We'll do it.
All right, but I think that kind of wraps us up on a Teen Wolf.
Solid.
I like doing actual franchises sometimes because, there's...
Who would ever thought Teen Wolf as
I know,
franchise.
A Teen Wolf franchise, it's wild.
Yeah.
So it's good, though. I enjoyed this. So
and for anyone out there, I mean, really, Teen Wolf is just... It's just a fun movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. It's just a fun, enjoyable, guilty pleasure movie.
Yeah.
It really is fun seeing Michael J. Fox. I mean, literally, this is months right before Back to the Future comes out. So it's like right before he takes off as a movie star. And yeah, it's just, you know, if you're a fan of like old horror movies, it's a little fun, little nod to those. And, you know, also the teen comedies of the 80s. So it brings it all.
All right, well, that's going to wrap us up for today. Now, don't forget, guys, if you're looking for more of our content, there's a really easy way to do it. If you go on our website, themisfitfaction.com, we also have all of our social media. And speaking of social media, we do something every Friday.
Oh, look at that.
What do we do every Friday, Sean?
Oh, that's a little thing called Fan Feedback Friday.
Now, this one was fun. This one was a lot of fun. So the question was, quote a line from Star Wars, but replace one of the words with coffee. I don't think we've ever had so many comments on one of these.
Yeah, we got a good amount.
We got a fair amount.
I find your lack of coffee disturbing.
Okay.
I love coffee. I know. Do or do not. There is no coffee. The coffee will be with
you. It's supposed to say will be with you.
The coffee will be with you always. No, I am your coffee. I am a Jedi like my coffee before me. I am altering the coffee. Pray I do not alter it further.
Brendan killed it on this
one. And then, it's a coffee.
It's a trap. Yeah, all right. Yeah, that one was fun. We had a lot of fun with that.
That was good. That was very good.
So if you guys are on Facebook, you can find us at Cinematic Adventures. If you guys are on social media, just type in The Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find us. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, all that stuff. And make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and do all that fun stuff, because the more you guys interact with us, the more we can do for you guys.
The more we can do. The more you know. And knowing's half the battle.
G.I. Jose. And that's going to wrap us up. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Adios.